trained as a nurse. She had a great future ahead of her, good prospects of marrying maybe a rich guy, doing great stuff here, even in New Jersey. After all, the family moved all the way to America to create a better life for the children. Yet Cindy chose a vocation as a missionary among the Mindanao Muslims in the Philippines, a very dangerous place to be. And her mother feels that it's a waste. Her mother feels that it's a senseless waste, and because our church supports her daughter in doing this, she was angry with our church. Cindy's mom feels that her daughter has thrown her life away. Do you agree with Cindy's mom? Let me pray for us. God, we ask that you would speak to us today. As we go into your word, Lord God, may we not only just find ink printed on paper, but may we find your love language, your love letter spoken to us, your words of love, your words of rebuke, your words of encouragement. Now speak to your people, Lord. Speak to me, despite the faltering lips of the speaker. And now, Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock, our redeemer. Amen. If you have a Bible, please turn it back open to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 8 through 17. We're looking at a story of King David, about his mighty men. These really are the superheroes of his day. It talks about three guys: Joseph, Bathsheba, Eliezer, and what's the other guy? There's another guy. What's his name? Shama. These three superheroes, they were really like the Sylvester Stallones, the Arnold Schwarzeneggers. These were one soldier, they could fight 1,000 soldiers. And these were people who were really good fighters, and they were very loyal to King David. So for verses 8 to 12, just talk about their exploits, how brave they were, how they could just stand in a field and fight until their hands would freeze to the sword. And in verses 13 to 17, it talks about one of their exploits, one of their endeavors, one of their brave feats, out of their dedication and loyalty to David, their captain. David was camped at a place across from Bethlehem, his birthplace, his city. Bethlehem is called the city of David. Now he was fighting against the Philistines, who themselves were very good soldiers. And they were camped away from David's city, and David was just speaking out loud, speaking his mind and saying, "Oh, how I wish I could drink the water from the well of Bethlehem, my city." Now these three men who were dedicated to him and loved him and were great fighters heard that, and what did they do? It says in the Bible that they got up, they broke through the Philistine lines, not just to fight the army, but in order to get water. To get water for David. And this they brought. They brought it back to David. At the cost of their lives, they went and drew water. It says, the Bible says, they broke through the Philistine lines, drew water from the well outside Bethlehem's gate, and carried it back to David. But in verse 17, what do we see? It says, David refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out. Man, what's he doing? What a waste. And my wedding anniversary is coming up. And without fail, every year my wife gets me a lot of goodies. And I don't even know what to get her. So it's this coming Tuesday, and I have no time to go shopping. So I have nothing to give her, but every year she would just bring me stuff, which she would actually notice when we go walk in the mall. She would notice like what kind of things I would pick up or try out, and I would never buy because they're just too expensive. But she would just sneak behind my back and go and buy them and just give them to me for my birthday, for Christmas, for anniversaries and stuff. So this Tuesday I'm expecting something, honey. Right? I never have anything. So she's very attentive. I don't know what to get her because I don't go shopping with her. And I'm just too busy doing my work, so I don't really be able to spend time with her. But she notices what I like. She overhears me talking, or she sees me just kind of shopping, because she loves me, I guess. What if she just heard me say, "Oh, I love sushi," And it's not just any sushi. My favorite sushi, you all need to know, comes from Tsukiji Market, the biggest fish market in the world in Japan, in Tokyo. There's a restaurant called Sushi Dai, and it's really sushi to die for. I mean, I love that place. I've been there once. And it's the best sushi I've ever had, the sushi that literally melts in your mouth. Suppose my wife hears that, and she is hearing it, and she actually somehow orders it, or she flies to Japan and brings me back, because she doesn't spare any cost. She goes and buys me a tray of sushi from Sushi Dai, and when I get it, I pour it out. I throw it into the toilet. I think that would probably be my last wedding anniversary I celebrate. It would be crazy, wouldn't it? It's about the same story here, that David took something that was so valuable, so precious, that his men went at the cost of their lives, brought it back to him, and he did not drink the water. He refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out. And we think, what a waste. What were you doing, David? But if you look carefully in this verse, verse 17, it doesn't just say that he poured it out. It says he poured it out. These are the most important words. Before the Lord. David did what the Old Testament prescribes as a drink offering. When the people, when they brought sacrifices of oil, of wine, these things they would drain out before the Lord. Either they would put on the altar, or with the blood of the animal, they would pour it before the altar onto the ground. It was a sacrifice. Now, a willing sacrifice. Now, not just any sacrifice, but a sacrifice that is given wholeheartedly and willingly is never a waste. A sacrifice, what is a sacrifice? A sacrifice is giving up something valuable in exchange for something of even greater value. Think about it when you sacrifice sleep to do something fun. You wake up at 4 o'clock in order to go fishing. You sacrifice sleep, but you realize that, yeah, in order to go fishing, which is a greater joy, I would sacrifice some sleep. Or some people would sacrifice money to buy a pair of sneakers. You're wondering, like, isn't that a waste? No, you say, because I like my sneakers, the new sneakers. A sacrifice is never a waste because it is giving up something valuable, indeed, but in order to exchange for something of even greater value. Now, I'm sure you're thinking in your mind, but no, Pastor Ian, sometimes it's a waste because you don't get what you want. But that is inconsequential. It is about the sacrifice you make and what you're saying with that sacrifice. When I was in college, my second year of college, I met my bride-to-be. But back then, I was very poor. I was dirt poor. And I lived with some roommates in an apartment, and we were all dirt poor. And in our fridge, there was nothing. There was nothing at all except a dorayaki. Dorayaki is a Japanese stuffed pancake. It's stuffed with red beans. It's something that I actually had paid money for. I didn't just steal that from the cafeteria because they didn't have that in the cafeteria. I went to a Japanese store and bought myself one dorayaki, a stuffed Japanese pancake. And that's all I had in my fridge. And I was saving it for an occasion, maybe a birthday. So I would just feast on this because I have nothing. I was so poor. So one day, I was sort of seeing a way. We were like friends. We went to the same classes. So she was at the apartment, and we were doing a project together. I guess that's how we got to know each other. And she came over, and she said, "I'm hungry. If anything," I went to the fridge, opened the fridge, hoping that there might be a half-eaten sandwich, hoping there was something in there. But I reached for my dorayaki, and I gave it to her. What she said after that almost was the end of our relationship. She said, "Ian, you know, when you give gifts to friends, you're not supposed to give, like, rubbish. You're supposed to give the best." it broke my heart because that was the best. But in her mind, that was just garbage. That was like, don't give me junk. I'm hungry. Give me something substantial. I gave her the best I had. So she did not appreciate it. But the sacrifice was not about her. It did not speak words to her. Well, now that she knows, you know, she had to give me all these things for her anniversary, right? Payback time, honey. Right. But the sacrifice did not speak to her. It spoke to me. Because a true sacrifice reveals who I love. Isn't that what a sacrifice is? It reveals to us who we love. I love way more than the dorayaki. Consider this guy, William Warden. I first learned about him at a Chinese Mission Convention in 2004, this past fall, some time ago. And this was supposedly a Christian missionary to China. In 1904, William Warden graduated from high school in Chicago, and he was already a millionaire. He was an heir to his family fortune, the Warden Incorporated. And for graduation, his parents got him a trip around the world. You know, in those days, you know, even now, how many of us actually have traveled around? Well, some of us have. But in those days, in the early 1900s, traveling around the world was a very expensive endeavor. And his parents just gave it to him as a graduation gift. But instead of being just a tourist, William Borden, his heart went out to the hurting people. The hurting people in Asia, in Europe, in the Middle East. When he came back, he decided that he was going to become a missionary. He went to Yale University because he was rich and smart. His friends, who found out that he was going to become a missionary, thought he was throwing his life away. When he finally gave his family fortune away to world missions, he wrote these two words in the back of his Bible. No reserve. He became a burden for China. He wanted to become a missionary to China to reach the Muslims in China, the Kangsu people. So he finished seminary at Princeton. And he headed for China. On his way to China, he had to pass through Egypt, where he received his training on how to work with the Muslims. In Cairo, he contracted a deadly disease, spinal meningitis. When he was dealing with this great illness, he wrote another two words on the back of his Bible, no retreat. William Warden, missionary to China, never set foot on China. He was never in China, never set his feet on China's soil. He died at the age of 25, still in Cairo. Later on, his parents found in his Bible, under those two phrases, were two other words. No regrets. Now, you might be thinking, this was such a waste. A man who was wealthy, intelligent, educated, and he wanted to go to China, but he never even got there. You're thinking, maybe it's a waste even in God's eyes. God considered it a waste. I don't think William Borden felt that. No reserve, no retreat, no regrets. In William Borden's mind, sacrifice reveals who he loved. And I think that God only cares really about that. Not the work that we've done, not the ministry, not dying here as a martyr. But God looks not on the surface, but he looks at the heart. My friends, sacrifice reveals who you really love. What do you sacrifice for? Or should I say, who do you sacrifice for? Number two, sacrifice reveals not just who we love, but who God is. I don't know how many of you have flipped the channel sometimes to watch MTV. I hardly do, but sometimes I come across this show called My Super Sweet 16. It's one of the craziest shows I've ever seen. And this is a reality show, and they kind of capture on film these brats, these spoiled brats, children of millionaires or billionaires, how their parents would throw these multi-million dollar parties for the 16th birthday. and they live as queens or kings. They have elephants and ponies and horses and all these crazy things. Today we have too many people, too many children who live or grow up thinking that I am God. Because my parents worship me, my friends worship me. I have all the power in the world. Later on, we know about all these rats. What happens to them? They become a curse. They become a curse to their parents. They become a curse to their family. They become a curse to society. They finally become even a curse to themselves. Rats who think that they are God. David saw who he was. In the story that we're looking in 2 Samuel, he knew that, he says in verse 17, "Far be it from me, O Lord, to do this. I cannot drink this." He says, "Is this not the blood of men who went at the risk of their lives?" David realized that he's not God. He's only a man. And he realized that this gift of this water was too great a gift for a man. It was only worthy for God. So he poured it out before the Lord and everyone. Don't think this was just a private affair. I mean, just, I don't want this. He did it in front of all his men. So everyone would know that for David, he worshipped God. His sacrifice revealed who his God was, and he was basically pointing everyone to God. Just do this not for me. Do things like this only for God, because only he is worthy. True godly sacrifice is an inspiration to others. I regret not having had Cindy Chen share more with the youth group. She only shared some things about how she was a little bit resentful about her mom, because her mom did not even want to go to the airport to see her off. Because in her mom's mind, Cindy is doing something that she disapproves of. So her sacrifice, Cindy, by going to become a missionary in the Philippines, she really had to sacrifice even her family relationships. But I heard that she was sharing with HFG this past Friday, and her sacrifice is much more than that. So the youth group only heard a little bit, only the tip of the iceberg. I heard that her sacrifice involves danger. The Cindy going to the Philippines, going to this remote place, that she's in danger with the bandits there. There are people, even politicians, because it is August, it is around election time in the Philippines, and I heard that that's how the politicians get their funding. They don't have money, so they would partner with jihadists, with terrorists, with bandits, to kidnap people and then use that ransom money to fund their campaigns. Isn't that crazy? And Cindy, because she's an American, and because she's also of Chinese ethnicity, she becomes a prime target. So she was just sharing about her fear of going back, and then she wanted us to pray for her. That when she actually goes back to the Philippines, she would be a prime target for these people who might kidnap her and do all sorts of crazy things with her. But this is her sacrifice. It's not just that, but there's also danger from diseases. TB, tuberculosis, a disease that is basically eradicated from Muslims in the Western world, is rampant in the Philippines. And because Cindy works in a clinic, all these poor people who cannot afford health care would come to her. Some of her teammates already contracted TB. And this is something that she's vulnerable to as well. Danger from bandits, danger from disease, and also was told that there's danger from sexual harassment. That these single women missionaries, because the safest place for them to live is to live with the village chiefs. But these village chiefs all have wives and concubines. They're not too, well, each man can have up to four women, four wives, well, one wife and three concubines, but most of them only can afford maybe one or two concubines. So as these single women stay with the village chiefs starts to think of them as targets. So they would get text messages from the village chiefs saying that they're thinking about them and all sorts of crazy stuff. So you never know what's going to happen. So this is part of the sacrifice Cindy has to make. And I'm thinking, what have I done for God
even more than that, for a single woman in her 20s or, I don't know, 30s, going to a place as dangerous as the part that Cindy is at, there's also a risk that she would never get to marry. There's very dim prospects of ever marrying somebody who's eligible. If you look at this picture, it's a picture of her team. It's kind of dark, so you probably cannot see all the faces, but count how many men there are on her team. I counted 3. All the rest are women, most of them single. I heard that it's very likely that she will never find a partner, a Christian man. This is part of the sacrifice. Today, later on, we're having our mission team, our short-term mission team, going to Suriname, will be commissioned here in this service. And as I'm contemplating my sacrifice for God, I'm thinking of going to Suriname for 2 weeks, 2 whole weeks. It'll be dangerous because I might miss my flights. It'll be dangerous because I might get diarrhea. And I'm thinking in my mind, oh, who are some of the people I need to greet? Oh, what's the food I'm going to eat? What's all the food I'm going to eat? But Cindy Chen inspires me. Because by her sacrifice, she reveals who she loves. And not just that, she reveals who God is. I am inspired to give more of myself to God. What about you? If you're not aware, today is our third sermon in a series about Christians and money. Last week I left you off with a cliffhanger saying how to combat consumerism or the love of money. Because Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. And Jesus says, you cannot serve both God and money. And when you think about it, isn't money just another term for self-reliance, relying on yourself? Because money basically is having the resources so that you can depend on yourself, not on God. That you can find security in something other than God. That's what money really symbolizes. So how do we get out of that trap? How do we not let the false god of money control and rule our hearts? Now, here lies the answer. Pour it out before the Lord. Sacrifice. It reveals who you love. It reveals who God is, or who your God is. Now, you might be asking the question, how much do I give? Do I have to give it all? The answer is yes. You have to give it all. Give it all to God. And you're thinking, Pastor Ian, you are crazy, you're nuts. How are we supposed to survive? Do we need some money? Yeah, we do. And I believe that God has given us money and possessions and blessings, not just so that we say, oh, everything's up to you. We give everything back to you. We throw everything in the offering box. No, God gives us, he provides for us so that we can actually live and enjoy life and remember him. So what do? We have to give it all by representation. The Old Testament command of tithing comes from, well, there are a lot of teachings, but I'll just show you one from the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 27 says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. The entire tithe of the herd and flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod, will be holy to the Lord. He must not pick out the good from the bad or make any substitution. But let me just explain what this means. The command says, every one-tenth, if you have 10, you have to give one to the Lord. This is by representation saying that when you give, you're saying to God, all I have is yours. I'm giving you a token. Not a tip, not a gratuity, but a token of that this represents all I have. And I give it to you symbolically. If it's like fruits from the trees, grain from the field, a tenth of that goes to the Lord. And what does it mean by the shepherd's rod? All the animals had to go over his rod. He had to put the stick out as the cattle or the sheep go by, every tenth one, he would just tap and say, this belongs to God. So they bring that aside as a sacrifice to the Lord. Every tenth one. And suppose the shepherd says, oh, this is a good one. The 11th one. Why didn't you take the 9th one? Why didn't you take the 11th one? Those are kind of, you know, one's kind of lame, one's kind of blind. God won't care. God does care. So there's no substitutions. Every 10th one, that goes to the Lord, because that represents what God has given you. So now we're starting to think, okay, we have to give a 10th of everything we have, of all our income. How about gifts? My Aunt Mary gave me a $100, you know, hongbao laisi. You know, do I have to tithe that as well? Or you may be thinking, so those of us who are working say, oh, is it before taxes or after taxes? Now I'm saying to you, if you start thinking like that, if I start thinking like that, aren't we doing the same thing as the one with the shepherd's rod and saying, oh, how about I substitute something else? The true meaning of sacrifice is therefore gone. This morning, some of us went to a different church for a church service, and some of the comment was that, wow, that church is better because it's only 50 minutes long. Ours is about 2 hours. When we start thinking in those terms, I want to go to a church where it's easier. I want to sacrifice less. Then the whole meaning of sacrifice is gone. Sacrifice reveals who you are. Sacrifice reveals who God is. When we start calculating, oh, is it 11? No, is this exactly 10%? No. How about, do I round up the pennies? When we start thinking those terms, the meaning of sacrifice is gone. So is it still 1/10? When we start thinking those terms, we start to think that everything is mine again. Oh, one part is God's, 9 parts is mine. It's never ours. And mind you, my friends, the concept of tithing is an Old Testament concept. In the New Testament, in the Bible, not even once is it mentioned. Tithing is in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, what does it really say to us? Everything is God's. Otherwise, that song, I surrender 10%. I surrender 10%, 10% to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender 10%. God requires our all. It's only a representation of a sacrifice to Him that we give Him that 1/10. Or for some of us, more. So when you're really, if you really need practical guidelines, how much do I give? 10% is a guideline. Even in the church today, the New Testament church today, that's only a guideline. Do you go as technical? Once you go technical, it becomes legalism. You have to start comparing. Jeanette, how much did you give? I gave 12%. Some people might say, oh, I gave 14%, because that's like 1/7. It's better than 1/10, because 7 is a holy number. The Bible says, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, or each woman, what she has decided in her heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. I shared with you a few months ago that I've been trying to track our giving record here at Cornerstone. Now, it's not really just to know how much, you know, we're receiving, how Pastor Ian can line his pockets. It's not about that. It's really to know if our church is growing to become a healthy church. So I was talking with the treasurer, who actually has to keep everything confidential. The treasurer cannot tell us any names, who gave how much and all that, but the treasurer knows. The treasurer's not in this congregation, so you can rest assured. But the treasurer tells me the English congregation is actually, the giving is up to par, considering our guess of how many people are working and how much we should be receiving and how much we're tracking our trends. We should be okay. But the treasurer also told me that some people are giving a lot, while there are some people who are not giving at all. Now, could it be because there are some of us who are disobedient to God? Maybe there are some of us who are worshiping money as an idol, Or maybe there are some of us who feel insecure that if I give away this to God, then I would not have enough for myself. Now, I have to admit to you, it's very awkward for me as your pastor to be talking about money here, especially about tithing and offerings, because a lot of churches, the pastors don't talk about this because it's a sensitive issue, because people think, yeah, Pastor Ian, you draw a salary from the church, so if you don't give, you don't get paid. Well, this church has been so generous to me all these years, so it's not about that. It's not about lining my pockets. It's not because of that I'm sharing with you. I'm addressing this issue because I might be addressing a very deep spiritual illness. To fail to sacrifice, it reveals that you love some wrong person. To fail to sacrifice means that you're revealing that you worship somebody, another God. You have another God. So I'd like for us to really reflect upon this. And maybe tithing is a discipline. It applies to males and females, to young and old. And maybe some of you are saying, Pastor Ian, I don't have a job yet. I don't have a salary. Well, you can still offer to God in your own way. Many of us who don't have a salary, you have an allowance. You may say, no, not really. I just get, my parents just give me money for whatever I need. Well, despite that, they still give you money. With your allowances, without fail, set apart 10%, or however much you set apart. And you say, that is for God. And you say, well, that amounts up to like 28 cents. I don't care. It's a spiritual discipline. If you do not start now, I guarantee you will not start later. You say, oh, when I actually make more money, when I actually get a better job, when I get a promotion, no, it will not happen. If you're not willing to part with that 10% now, you will not be willing to part with that 10% later on. So young people, I urge you to start early. And even pastors, we have to tithe. And I know sometimes it's hard. We don't have to tithe, but I tithe, or I give. It's hard, because sometimes you do realize, I really want to buy this. Can I just take a loan from God and just give him back later? Yeah, it's really up to you. But really, there's no strict legalism that you have to do this or not do that. It's really all about your heart. About that heart of sacrifice. Who you really love and who God really is. Now, some of you don't have money. You have time. Tithe your time. Your free time. Instead of just using it all for yourself because it's something God has given you, why don't you use at least a 10% of it for the Lord? Dedicate that time to come into the church and help out. There are a lot of things in the church that needs help. If you don't have money to tithe, you can tithe your time. Or blessings and talents. And some of you are very gifted in all these things. You're great with a computer. You're great with a musical instrument. Why don't you tithe a part of that to God? Whether I apply that in the church service, or the youth group, or in your fellowship, or just when you see other things that needs to be done, or you want to buy something to put in the church, why don't you do that? How about vacation time? If you don't have money, you have vacation time. How about tithing a tenth of your summer vacation to go on a mission trip? Well, maybe it's too late for this summer. How about just set that aside now for next year? Now, next year, your next summer, or your winter vacation, tithing one-tenth of that to the Lord. And of course, you'd give more. It's only a guideline. Sacrifice reveals who you love. It reveals who God is. Just like Cindy Chen and William Borden, my encouragement to you would be, pour it out before the Lord. Let us pray. God, that was an awkward message because preachers don't like to preach about money because it gives people a false impression that all the preacher wants is their money. But I thank you, Lord God, that you've provided for me, you've provided for all of us. And we need to hear these words today, including myself, because so often I'm tempted as well to hold on to what you've given to me and to say that it is mine. To hold on and to say, okay, God, I'll just give you a tip. But Lord God, it's all yours. So So joining with David, joining with Cindy, joining with William Borden, we offer ourselves to you. We surrender our all, not just 10%. We say, it's all yours. But here, O Lord God, a token of what we really feel. We give to you a portion of what you've given to us. We thank you, Lord God, for blessing us. Help us, O Lord God, to keep that blessing to be continued, to keep that going out. Help us, Lord God, to bless others. Help us most of all to bless you. Because when we pour out to you, we realize that you're pouring 100-fold back to us. So we thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.